Good evening, I'm Michael Carey. Welcome to the program. Tonight, we will be talking with candidates running for contested seats on the Anchorage Assembly. Later in the program, you will hear from candidates who are not facing opponents. Joining me this evening is KSK reporter Daisha Eaton. During this segment, we will meet candidates for a Midtown seat, Andy Clary and Dick Traney. Each candidate will have 1 minute opening statement. Mr. Clary, we will start with you.
Good evening. Thank you for hosting this debate, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with you voters. My name is Andy Clary. I'm running for the Midtown seat here in Anchorage. I grew up here. I love this town, and I want to see the same opportunities that we enjoy today to continue for generations to come. That is why I'm running for this race. I see the Assembly as the best way for me to give back to the community. I work as a project manager at GeoNorth, a local IT consulting firm. For my public service, I started at the Health and Human Services Commission, and for the past 3 years served on the Budget Advisory Commission, 1 year as chairman. As your Assemblyman, my primary goal will be to make responsible budgetary decisions that keep Anchorage on a sustainable fiscal track over the long term. Thank you.
Mr. Traney.
Hi. Thanks for having this meeting here today. My name is Dick Traney. I'm running for re-election to the Anchorage Assembly. I've served on the Assembly now for 14 years. Six of those years I've been chairman of the Anchorage Assembly. My wife and I came up here in 1971 at the request of the government, although I think they ordered me to come here. We have 8 children that have grown up in Anchorage. We now have 15 grandchildren that live here, go to the Anchorage school system. And my goal in running on the Assembly is to make sure that everybody has the same opportunity to have their children raised here and their grandchildren raised in what I think is the best town in Alaska, which is Anchorage. Thank you.
Thank you. Daisha will now ask the first question.
And this will be for Mr. Traney. Mr. Traney, you ran for the legislature last fall, and now you're running for the Assembly. Why did you want to make that change before, and why are you staying and wanting to run for Assembly now?
Thank you for asking the question. It's a good question, a valid one. Why am I running again? Because as I was going door to door, people were saying, we'll give you money to run, but we want you to lose and to stay on the Assembly. So I'm doing exactly that. I'm staying on the Anchorage Assembly. Person after person said, we want to keep you on the Assembly. That's what I intend to do.
All right, and let's go on to Mr. Clary. So voters have elected Mr. Traney to the Assembly several times. Why would they want to choose you instead?
Well, what I bring is a fresh perspective and some new ideas for Midtown. I have local private sector business leadership experience, and my time on the Budget Advisory Commission has given me a great in-depth knowledge of how our city government is operated, structured, and funded. And I think one of the greatest differences between Mr. Traney and myself, on one of his first interviews, he said, I'm a nice man, but the Assembly doesn't need a nice man. And in further debates, he said that he's here to agitate. And I really see, I don't see how that's a productive way of getting things done in this town. I am a very approachable individual, able and eager and willing to listen to both sides of any argument, and will make informed decisions on the Assembly.
Okay, I'm gonna start this time with Mr. Clary, and then we'll go to Mr. Traney, and something like 30 seconds if you could, sir. Mayor Sullivan has proposed a number of changes in municipal labor law that have sparked loud and continuous opposition from labor unions and their allies. Do you support the mayor's proposed changes?
Well, first of all, I have to say that we have a town full of dedicated public servants, and I've had the opportunity to meet many of them, and they have the right to a fair wage. And this ordinance, as originally proposed, definitely needed some improvement. And what we have, the Assembly has taken those ideas, made some amendments. We have an S version right now, and I think it will be further amended on the night that they actually vote.
Mr. Traney.
37 is defective by birth, by design. This administration started working on this. I've traced it back to July of last year. In February of this year, they dropped it on us and said, we need it passed in 30 days. They outsourced this document to have an outside attorney write it without any input from local community, without any input from the Assembly. It's not the way you run government. You bring the sides together and first identify what the problem is. Now, the S version is no better than the original version. Take a look at the last paragraph on the S version. It says, we're going to have 180 days to define what outsourcing really means. That's 180 days where everybody that has a job working for this city is going to be worried about their jobs. I sat through four nights of testimony from everybody pouring their heart out on what this means to them. And what we're going to see happen to this city is terrible. It's defective.
Okay, let's go back to Daisha Eaton.
All right, let's talk about that so-called outsourcing. The mayor believes in this so-called outsourcing, you're calling it.
He calls it managed competition.
Do you support that, allowing private employers to compete with public employees for their jobs? And would you support that?
No, I don't. I saw that happen at Ilmendorf, where they outsourced jobs. And what we found is the first year the outside contractor came in cheap, after that it just goes right off the roof, because you've lost infrastructure to do that job. And I find it interesting with 37, for example, the first time we had a meeting on it, they said, oh, by the way, yes, we're going to outsource police dispatch, we're going to outsource EMS, we're going to outsource all these functions we need. Now with the S version, they've decided we really can't do that. But we found they're still outsourcing things like the evidence clerks we have at the police department, which is so vital. If you're going to court and you call the police department for that evidence, you can't have that job outsourced. That person needs to be there and run a reliable shop to get that information to court, or the judge will dismiss the case.
So do you think there should be no outsourcing or just some?
I think we need to bring the sides together and work out what this really means before we vote on 37, because right now 37 and any S versions you have are defective. And I find it interesting that Dennis Reuter sent out an email saying that they would only accept alterations from the sponsors of the amendment.
Okay, let's ask Mr. Clary the same question.
The managed competition.
Managed competition.
Sure.
Do you support it or not? Why or why not?
Sure. I think if you look at cities like Indianapolis, Seattle, San Diego, it can work. It's been said that if there's you look at the Yellow Pages, if there's three contractors in the Yellow Pages that are providing the same service that you find in the municipality, then maybe that's something that could be looked at. Now, we have dedicated public servants, like I said earlier. Any managed competition needs to be done right and needs to be done correctly. But I do see it as a way, and often in these areas where it has already happened, the municipal workers are motivated to figure out ways to do what they do better and more efficiently, and it's saved those cities money.
Okay,
thank you very much. Mr. Clary, we'll stay with you. Is the financing of municipal government secure, or do we need to make changes that will secure the future of our finances, perhaps diversifying our revenue stream?
Very good question. And what I think we've seen over the last 4 years are years where we've had to deal with budget deficits every year. And I don't think anyone likes to be in that mode. And what I'm running for, one of my primary reasons for running, is again to make those responsible financial decisions, because I think the vote on the budget is the most important vote the Assembly makes every year. And I will be there to make a responsible decision every year that will keep Anchorage on that sustainable fiscal track over the long term.
Mr. Traney.
Anchorage is sustainable, has been sustainable. What we've seen with the city government is a managed program to bring up all that Anchorage is running short on money. We're not. Anchorage budget looks good. And you know, I was looking at MSN, and it says that Anchorage is the lowest tax city among all the cities they've looked at. Look at MSN, go out to real estate, they will tell you that.
For the uninitiated, what's MSN?
Microsoft Network. I just go MSN to go out there, go to the real estate area. It says Anchorage is the lowest taxed city in the United States. And what's interesting is we're the same size as Rhode Island. What do you think about us? Is the same size as a state. We have a good economy. It's run well. So
let's go back to Daisha Eaton.
And for Mr. Traney, briefly evaluate our police and emergency services. Do you think they're doing a good job?
I think they're doing a great job. I ride with the police department. I ride with them because a lot of times when we're going to the police department, we stop somebody for something. And I can tell the officers, you're not the one that wrote the law, I am. So you don't have to take the blame for this law. I was with them one time where we picked up somebody for drunk driving, and the man didn't like it. I told the officer, go tell him to come and talk to me because I wrote the law. It takes your cars away from him. We have a great police force. We have a great fire department. But I really worry about what 37 and 37 SNE children it has are going to bring to the morale in the police department and the fire department. Because I've talked to these officers, and they tell me they're simply, they've got job offers and they're leaving.
Right. And let's go to Mr. Clary. What do you think of our police and emergency services? Can you evaluate them?
Sure. They are doing an excellent job. I, too, have been on police ride-alongs. Mm-hmm. I've seen what these men and women have to deal with. They are dealing with situations that really nobody really wants to be dealing with on a regular basis, day in and day out. These men and women are dedicated public servants. They know their duties well, and they perform them well. And we, as an assembly, need to make sure they have what they need in order to do their jobs and that they are able to continue to work and provide the services that we need in this town. Public safety is a number one priority of the municipality.
Let's stick with you, Mr. Clary. Alcohol continues to be involved in a disproportionate share of crime and social disorder. What can be done to reduce the damage alcohol does to our community?
Excellent question. And again, on those police ride-alongs, what I've witnessed is firsthand the number of calls that they have to go out and deal with. You can trace them by the far majority back to substance abuse of some kind, whether it was alcohol or drugs. One of the things we've seen in recent years is the Carlick Manor, the Housing First Initiative. The initial reports I've seen from that have been very positive. It looks like it's been a great way to keep the chronic public inebriates off of the street. And I will, as an assemblyman, support similar efforts as those.
Thank you. Mr. Traney.
Well, alcohol has always been a problem in Anchorage. All the years I've been on it, we've tried to deal with it. In fact, I just dealt with this last Tuesday, where we changed laws so that if bars want to, they can now stay up until 4 o'clock. They can't serve alcohol after 3 o'clock. But this safety hour, the bar's been asking for a couple of years to get. So we approved it on Tuesday, and we'll see how it is, because if you've been downtown, when bar call happens and they're shut down, they throw everybody outside. And it looks like salmon's going upstream and there's no place for those people to go. So we're trying that angle. Carlick Manor has worked well in some cases, but I'm getting complaints out of Mountain View because administration wants to move it into Mountain View now, and Mountain View is worried about being overpopulated with alcohol problems.
Okay, back to Daisha Eden.
And this will be for Mr. Clary first. Title 21 is now the law. It's Anchorage Land Use Law and Development. In your view, is the version that passed adequate, or are we going to need to do more in the future about Title 21?
Sure. Excellent question. I think we will need to do some more tweaking, as you do with any law. That's the beauty of city government. You have the opportunity to go in and make changes at any time. What I want to see is a land use code that makes Anchorage developable, that's a word, and provides economic opportunities for this town. You know, I've talked with developers recently, and some of them have personally estimated that you can trace back 30% of the cost of the increase in housing over the last 10 years can be tied directly back to increased regulations. And what I want to see is more affordable housing. I very much like the mother-in-law amendment that was added to Title 21. I think that will provide some affordable housing in this town.
All right, Mr. Traney, you're very familiar with Title 21.
Yeah, I've worked on Title 21 for a long time. In fact, I'm the one that appointed Debbie Osander as our czar over Title 21. It was nice to see her finish that project. I worked with her on it. And Andy brought up the mother-in-law apartments. I just called them grandfather-in-law apartments because I got a complaint from an older lady that said, why do you just keep referring to these as mother-in-law apartments? So let's call them grandfather apartments or father-in-laws. Anyway, the problem with it is the way it was originally passed, we're going to have to go back and look at this whole thing again, bit by bit, to get it on track. It allows anybody in an R1 or R1A that has 10,400 square feet to have a right to have a mother-in-law or father-in-law apartment. And for the area around here, our assembly district, that's going to mean that a lot of the homes that are now single-family homes may find more cars coming in. We have to make sure that people actually still live in their home, because if you're going to have an in-law apartment, you have to live there. And so we want to make sure that they're not just saying we're going to create one and then outsource.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there, Mr. Traney.
No
and
problem.
I'm going to ask you to start in the next question. What can be done to improve public transportation here in Anchorage, especially given the loss of federal dollars, federal support, as Washington attempts to curb the deficit?
That's a good question. I appreciate it because a lot of people, for example, our assembly district has the highest ridership of any assembly district on the people mover system. We need to make sure the bus is there on time. We need to cut down the size of the snow berms because I see people standing on little, when we have a lot of snow, standing at interesting peaks hoping the bus will come by. I know this year the administration wanted to raise the fare $1 a trip on people mover. We shot that down because we found some surplus funds, so that didn't have to happen. But you've got to constantly be working to expand the people mover bus system in this town to make sure people that don't have a car or decide not to have a way to get around.
Thank you, sir. Let's go to Mr. Clary.
Sure. Public transportation is an essential municipal service. There are people that depend on it on a daily basis to get to work, to get to anywhere they need to go. I personally have a couple friends, and one who is legally blind, and he depends on this service to get to his job and his work and everywhere. He came from out of state, and he actually praises the bus service as one that works very well compared to other locales. One of the things I'd like to see happen that won't really even cost money is I'd like to see the people mover adopt the Google data standard so that when you're searching for a route or where to get to somewhere, it will pop up and show up on Google Transit.
Okay. Desha Eden once more.
And this will be for Mr. Clary. NSTAR and others have warned that we're running out of natural gas here, and there'll be a shortage, and then probably we'll run out. So what can local government do to contribute to efforts to solve this problem?
Yeah, it's a very important key issue. And one that's going to that all of Anchorage needs to come together to address. As a member of the assembly, we can be involved in the discussions. Obviously, we're not members of the development community. We're not going to be out there drilling or anything ourselves, but we can support those that are, and we can talk with them. I recently, last week, I believe it was, attended the Energy Task Force meeting and got an update on the developments at Cook Inlet. It's looking very positive. We have the gas there, but we need to go and develop it. And it will be, you know, up to developers to do that. And we need to be working with entities like the RCA and these that regulate and control this industry so that we can make sure there's incentives going forward.
All right, Mr. Trainee.
Well, you know, for years there was no gas exploration done in Cook Inlet. Now they're starting to explore again, and they're finding good finds out there. But we need to take a look at how do we get more gas down here. And we've got to take a look at taking the gas off the North Slope, getting it to Fairbanks, then getting it down here and ultimately to Tidewater so we can outsource the gas. Because Pacific Rim wants gas badly. We've got to make sure that happens. I spend time in Fairbanks. People up there heat their homes on fuel oil. And I don't know if you've seen what they pay, but I saw one guy showed me his gas bill. He's paying $2,000 a month to heat his house on fuel oil. That's no way to live. And I want to make sure we've got the gas resources here so that we don't see that same thing happening here.
Okay, we'll start Mr. Clary this time. Let's not mince words. The Port of Anchorage is a mess. Millions of dollars have been wasted on port expansion, and now the Muni is engaged in an extensive lawsuit against three design firms. What happened? Who's responsible? What do we do now?
Excellent question. The port is a mess, and it is something that we cannot abandon. We have to see this project through to completion. You've got one engineering firm that says their original design was not flawed. You have another one saying that, yes, it was flawed and the construction was flawed. So I think it is right to go to court. I think that was the right decision to make. It definitely has to be sorted out. 85% of everything that we drive, wear, or eat comes through that port for the whole state of Alaska. This is a key infrastructure piece, and we must see this project through to completion.
Okay, Mr. Trainee.
Yeah, it's not the Anchorage port we're talking about. We're talking about the Alaska port. Because Andy and I agree on this. The port is so important. We've got to make sure it's constantly moving goods into Alaska. The problem with who's responsible for it, the court's going to determine that. Because you've got the design people that say it was a good design. You've got the construction people saying we constructed the way they told us to do it. Both sides are now blaming each other, and we're going to court. so let the judge determine it. I saw one interesting photo when they had a piece of sheet pile from the port that they had actually bent it into a circle. Then they took a forklift and ran it over it to straighten it out again. And they tried to put it into the sheet piling. You can't do that. Once you've got bent sheet piling, it cannot be used. So there's a lot of things we're going to have to look at as this thing goes to court. But we've got to put our effort on making sure this port is viable, not just for us, but for everybody that lives in South Central. Everything comes through this port.
Thank you. Dish Eaton.
Let's go to Mr. Clary. Our libraries are well used. If you go into Lusac Library, you'll find it filled with people, children and adults. Are we appropriating enough money for our libraries here?
Excellent question. You're right. I've been in the library very recently and seen, I've been blown away by how many people actually go in there. The last 4 years have really cut the services at the library to the bone, and I would agree with that. What I want to see is, again, making responsible budgetary decisions that keep us at a sustainable future to where we can start to build some of our services again that have been cut, like the library.
Okay, and Mr. Trainee.
No, I spend a lot of time at the library. I talk to the people who support the library. We found it interesting with this year's budget, where the mayor administration came in, what they wanted the funding, we increased the funding to the library because we understand how important the library is to every citizen in this town. I have a sister-in-law that came to live with us a while back, and the first thing she did was go and get a library card. And she just lived in the library every week going back getting more books because that's what she enjoys doing. And people have a history and tradition of going to the library. We need to make sure it's viable. And part of this reconstruction on the library will take care of the problem we have downtown, where you, if you look as you go in the library, the arch is starting to break, and that needs maintenance.
Okay, we need to move on, and we are going to skip ahead here on the question list, starting with Mr. Trainee. The number of street people fluctuates, but street people who are homeless seem to be a permanent part of our community. How can we reduce the number of homeless and the friction between street people and the rest of society?
That's always a problem. It's a good question, but it's always a problem. And we've tried to do that here in Midtown by increasing the amount of beds they can have at the rescue mission, because they had a problem for a long time. They couldn't handle all the traffic they were getting. So at 6 o'clock, when they got their maximum capacity, they locked the doors. Everybody else had to go find a place. So they asked us to increase the bed size, which we did. And now I'm trying to get money from the state to see if we can put a walkway going across Tudor Road, because we've seen 6 people killed on Tudor Road trying to get from one side to the other. So I've been working on that.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Clary.
Yes, excellent question. It's definitely an issue that needs to be addressed, and we are doing many things in this city already. We talked about Carlock Manor already, some other things that are going on every year. We have Project Homeless Connect. I actually took a day off work this year to spend all day there serving and meeting and talking with these people. It is a great outreach effort, and it connects them with services that that they need to make the next steps in life. We also have the emergency cold weather shelters, which I've been very supportive of in the community, to see churches opening up their doors and providing housing for some of these.
Okay, we have time for a couple more questions. Perhaps Dish Eaton.
This will be for Mr. Clary. Is funding for parks and recreation adequate in Anchorage?
Excellent question. We definitely need to take care of our parks and recreational opportunities here in Anchorage. Those are the kinds of things that make Anchorage a fun place to live, a place where people want to come. It's an attractional thing, and I think it is important. Again, I would put Parks and Rec in the same category as libraries. Over the past 4 years, we've seen the service level diminish. And what I want to see, again, same theme, make responsible budgetary decisions that keep us on that sustainable track, so that we're not growing in too much in 1 year and then have to cut. I want to see us grow at a sustainable rate to where we can start to add back in some of these other services.
And Mr. Trainee, Parks and Rec.
I think we've done a lot with Parks and Rec. There's a lot more to do. I got $4 million last year to buy Waldron Lake. Burroughs and Groves Cup are going to sell that. We're going to buy it and turn that into being ran by the city. It'll still be maintained by Burroughs and Groves Cup. We're going to buy it. And what's interesting is when we deal with Parks and Rec, the bonds come up every year, but not all of Anchorage has to pay for the bonds. For example, the hillside can use the parks, but some parts of the hillside, because of the way we put the town together or the unification, don't ever have to pay for it. So it's always interesting, though, when we have an issue in the hillside area, for example, with
We can't go into that.
Nine.
We're just about out of time here. We've got to wrap it up very briefly.
Sorry.
Mr. Trainee, 15 years ago, I heard a lot about making Anchorage a livable winter city.
Yeah.
Very briefly, are we making any progress?
Yes. It's a great town to live in. Otherwise,
even in the winter.
Even in the wintertime. The wintertime is great. You can bike. You can ski. You can walk down any part of Anchorage. It's a livable town.
Mr. Clary.
I've got to give a plug to Ferrandi. The festival has turned itself around, and large thanks go to Susan Duck, who came a few years ago and did that. I think that's one of the greatest parts of winter in Anchorage, I really do.
Thank you, Mr. Clary. Thank you, Mr. Trainee. Remember, the election is April 4th. Please stay with us. We will hear from two of the assembly candidates without opposition on the ballot. Then we will talk with Anchorage School Board candidates. Stay with us.
Good evening. My name is Ernie Hall. I'm running for my second term at West Anchorage Seat D. I've had a great time this last 3 years serving my community. I've genuinely made an effort to try to be in the middle, and that becomes a tough job. What you find out is trying to create that balance can be extremely hard. But what I have been able to do and take a great deal of pride in was be able to work closely with the mayor and being able to get us the Campbell Creek Estuary. I felt good about the fact that I've been able to work also to help resolve the issue with Spinard Road. That's a project we're finally going to be able to move ahead and see brought to completion. I feel good about the fact that I was able to orchestrate and help put together getting Title 21 passed this year during my term as chair of the assembly, working very closely with Ms. Osiander and members of the community to ensure that everyone was able to have input and then bring it to a vote and manage to get it passed in a single evening. I've taken pride in the fact that as chair, I've had an assembly that have worked extremely cordially together. We don't always see eye to eye on issues, but what we do is work to try to come to a consensus that will be good for this community and be able to help move us forward to deal with some of the issues that we've got coming at us. One of my major concerns is what's going to happen with funding coming from Juneau. If we don't have the ability to offset that as that funding begins to reduce, it's going to be extremely difficult for us. So we're working hard to try to create a structurally sound financial system within the city. In closing, I would appreciate your vote this on April the 2nd, and I look forward to hopefully serving you another 3 years in this community. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Paul Honeman. I represent East Anchorage on the Assembly, and I'm running for re-election. It's been my honor to serve this community for the past 3 years. I sincerely believe in providing good government and listening to and being responsive to the people. Together, we have worked to make Anchorage an even better place to live and work, but there's more work to be done. The city charter requires our municipal government to operate in a nonpartisan manner. We're supposed to represent the people and not political parties. I truly believe in that philosophy. I'm proud to say that I am that independent voice. I work for you. I listen to the people of our community, and your priorities guide my work every day. I have lived in East Anchorage for 37 years. It's where I bought a home and raised my family. I've served in the United States Army and then as a police officer for more than 25 years. I know that public safety is of critical importance to you and your family. When you elected me 3 years ago, I promised to work to hold new police academies to fill vacant positions to our police force. I'm proud to say that we succeeded, and the city has held one academy and we're in the process of conducting our second. Having a highly trained and well-staffed police force allows the community to prevent crime and to make our neighborhoods safer instead of just responding to emergencies. We also opened the new Muldoon Fire Station just this past September to provide better service to our east side neighbors. Public safety is more than just police and fire officers, though. It is providing safe places for our kids to play and good schools to teach that teach more than just academic knowledge. It is building adequate sidewalks to keep pedestrians and children out of the roadway and frost heaves and potholes from our roads. Public safety is providing reliable utilities like clean water and also providing those services critical to each of us. I work for you. You can reach me anytime on my cell at 947-0500 or on the web at paulhoneman.com.
We'll be right back with candidates for the Anchorage School Board.